Good afternoon and welcome to Harnessing the Potential of True Enterprise Imaging, a Health System CIO Media Inc. production sponsored by AGFA Healthcare. Just a little housekeeping before we get started. My name is Anthony Guerra. I'm the founder and editor-in-chief of Health System CIO, and I'll be your moderator today. We're looking forward to your participation. You can send in your questions or comments anytime in the Q&A box, and we'll take them later in the program. Just so you see how we're going to spend our time today, first we're going to go about 35 to 40 minutes with our main panel discussion featuring Dr. Alex Tobin, Associate CMIO with Cincinnati Children's, Joseph Marion, Principal with Healthcare Integration Strategies, and Lenny Resnick, IT Business Unit VP, Commercial Product Leader for North America with AGFA Healthcare. And then we will have our audience Q&A. So let's jump right in. Alex, let's start with you. Can you give us an overview of your organization and your role?
Yeah. And thanks for including me in this webinar. I'm excited to be able to participate. So I have a number of different roles. I work at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. It's a large tertiary or quaternary pediatric organization. And we're spread across the entire region with 11 different sites where imaging and care is provided. I'm a radiologist, and so my clinical role is working in radiology. In the IT world, I'm associate CMIO, or Chief Medical Information Officer, in charge of imaging, and help to lead our radiology imaging and enterprise imaging programs. I also have a role in clinical operations in the Department of Radiology, as well as at the organization.
Very good, Alex. Thank you. Joe?
I'm Principal of Healthcare Integration Strategies. It's a consulting company that I started in 1998 to assist healthcare providers with imaging strategies. And I've probably assisted over 100 institutions from radiology to cardiology to enterprise imaging in terms of their imaging strategies.
Excellent, Joe. Thank you. Looking forward to the conversation. Lenny.
Yes, good morning. Thanks. I work for AGFA Healthcare. I think most people know AGFA is a trusted partner in healthcare for quite some time now, going back to the early 1990s. We are really focusing on enterprise imaging as a catalyst to provide exceptional patient care. My role specifically as a head of commercialization essentially is the go-to-market team. So I lead the marketing, the clinical outcome team, the solution design team, et cetera.
Excellent. All right. We're going to jump right into the deep end of the pool. Let's start with some definitions. How would you define the traditional approach to imaging in a health system versus the enterprise approach we're going to talk about today? What are the downsides of a traditional imaging approach versus the upsides of an enterprise approach? And would an enterprise imaging approach better serve the macro trends in healthcare regarding patient expectations, accountable care, et cetera? Alex, let's start with you.
Those are a lot of tough questions. But starting with the definition, so I like to think of enterprise imaging as getting all the pictures in the hospital into one spot and making them easy to capture, distribute, view, and eventually exchange. HIMSIM, enterprise imaging community, has created a definition that's a little bit more detailed than that. It has a lot more verbs on the things you do with the images. But I try to keep it simple of just getting all the pictures taken in the hospital into one spot. It's a little bit different than the traditional approach, which is more department-based or divisional-based, where one specialty does the work themselves and it lives in a siloed system that doesn't really connect with the other systems. And yeah. So an example of that would be like a radiology PACS, a cardiology PACS, an ophthalmology imaging system, which may or may not be a system at all. And something like that may just live on a device, for example.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. We'll get into more there. Joe, your thoughts?
I think that the key things are in terms of a traditional system, they tend to be departmental in nature. and the best solution for that particular department. And that results in disparate systems across the enterprise. And it's the inability to integrate clinical information, I think, as Dr. Tobin has said, that's the key point of an enterprise versus departmental solutions. And then in addition to that, I think is if you look specifically at cardiology, which is one area that I'd focused on a lot, obviously with it's much broader than, say, a radiology environment between interventional and non-interventional departments. And the net result of that is that trying to collect all of that information into a cohesive set is very difficult if each departmental or even subdepartment does its own thing. So I think that the traditional environment has been very compartmentalized, and that's not conducive to long-term patient care.
Yeah, we'll get into that some more. Very good, Joe. Lenny?
Yeah, I think if I had to pick one word, you know, with traditional approach, it's the word silos. I heard that from my colleagues here. And I think the challenge with that is they are disparate systems. They don't necessarily communicate into the EMR. So the clinical care teams don't really have access to all the information that they need to make the best diagnosis. It doesn't facilitate communication among the caregivers, between the patient and the caregivers. I think also there's no economies of scale from an infrastructure point of view and maybe security point of view, which obviously is in the news a lot this day. Ultimately, it doesn't really focus on the patient. It just focuses on the specific department. And today, you know, we have collaborative teams who really help to define, you know, patient care. Enterprise imaging is different. You know, Alex had mentioned the HIMSIM definition. I do like that one a lot. It talks about just strategies, initiatives, and workflows. There's some other words, but it's not just a software application. It's not like I bought a CD, I installed it on my computer, and now I have enterprise imaging. It's much bigger than that, and we'll get into those things, I believe, today. But also, you know, ACFA might define it a little bit different than others. You know, we believe it's a purpose-built application. It's not something that was munched together. It's something that, you know, had the stated use of trying to get images into the EMR from all the disparate uses. It definitely has different workflows that not just work for radiology, but for other departments, whether it's pathology or wound care or whatever. It's not just a VNA. It's not just a universal viewer. It's really a comprehensive application that does all those different things and really allows, you know, resources, especially the clinical team, to really get those economies of scale, as well as, you know, the IT teams.
All right. Very good. Alex, let's talk a little bit more about, you know, things evolve in a certain way because sort of they do the job to a certain level. I mean, that's why we have these departmental systems. That's why things evolve that way. And, you know, we mentioned this idea of getting these images into the EMR. So a couple of questions. Number one, sort of from a patient care point of view, if you want to give us some scenarios to where these silos cause a problem, like what's a few patient care scenarios where you hit the wall with the silos and now people have to take time or expend effort to continue the patient care journey that it would be ideal if they didn't have to. And the second question is, why isn't it as simple as every one of these departmental imaging systems having that image flow into the EMR to then it's accessible to all? So educate me a little there.
Yeah, I'm just taking some notes so I cover it. A couple of things. I first want to push back on getting the images into the EMR. It's a little bit of semantics, and so I apologize for that, but the EMR is, it being the medical record, is mostly textual, has numerical data as well. The electronic health record expands on that and brings in other data sources. And so I would say that is more of the EHR rather than the EMR. But again, a little bit of semantics. The other thing is that the images are not generally stored in that system, whatever large system you use. Instead, they tend to be stored in an imaging archive and are referenced into the EMR or the EHR. And so that can cause challenges that because they're not there. And so I'll give an example of where the siloed effect is problematic. And even then, in that same where it, having the images in the EMR could be helpful when they're siloed in the imaging archive. So dermatology is one of the first sites that we added digital photography to as one of the new modalities that enterprise imaging brings. The way dermatology was taking digital photos for years. They have medical photographers in our hospital that are taking photographs or doing it in a professional way, capturing images. They use Lightroom to evaluate the images. Lightroom being the Adobe product, sorry. Use Lightroom to evaluate, do some light editing of the images. To compare images time point over time point, they would create a composite image. And so if you have a picture of a mole, you take your picture of the mole from last year and put it on the put it in a new image, and then add the image of the mole from this year, and then you can see side by side and you can paste that in. The problem is that's a lot of work. It's not related to anything else. And so if that patient has melanoma, there's also a PET scan that would be performed. There may be surgical photos. There could be a wound photo that comes in, obtained at different time points, and there's no relation to any of them. So an enterprise imaging approach would be able to store that in an archive, be able to apply metadata labels to it, allow you to use a viewer to see those images and within the viewer have display protocols or hanging protocols that allow that relationship, allow you to take advantage of that relationship between the different time points, the different specialties, and to evaluate all of the data more holistically. I think one of the downsides of that approach is in that previous model, it was really easy to take your photo from Lightroom and copy and paste it into a clinic note, and providing it in that clinic note approach. And if you wanted to send a letter out, as a dermatologist, if that patient was referred to you, sending a letter to the person who referred you the patient to include an image, those things were easy to do. They're harder to do when it's in a system and it's wrapped with imaging standards like DICOM, just because many dermatology offices are not prepared to do that type of work. You could do it with things like screen capture. But in many instances, with something like that, if you were going to put it back in the EMR, you're duplicating data and adding effort that you may not need. And so we don't have the solutions, at least not widespread, where you're able to insert images from the viewer into that note within the EHR. So another area where enterprise imaging has been useful is within Optho. And so in Optho, there are a number of challenges with eye care. Some of the challenges are the proprietary machines. The images are stored on the machines. They don't go to any archive. They're reviewed on an archive. It's hard to compare across their many different modalities because they're stored on a machine. Raw data is not sent from the machines. If it's sent out anywhere, it's something like a PDF that's then not able to be used, and organizations can't gain insight to develop new product or to do further evaluation. With an enterprise imaging approach, you can apply that. Again, those common metadata labels, have the images side by side across even just the eye care modalities, to be able to compare and evaluate the patient, again, more holistically. You could also apply it, again, next to a radiologic image or a pathologic image, for example, and to take that more holistic view of the patient.
Lenny, any thoughts on what you're hearing?
Yeah, I wanted to really reiterate one thing that Alex said, and that is, today, let's say in wound care, the caregivers or the photographers, they could easily take a picture and put it into a clinical note. But that clinical note is only available to the person who put it in there. It's not available to anyone else on the care team. And that's the fundamental difference that not everyone can appreciate in why enterprise imaging really is needed. And let's assume that this wound had maybe it was led to something much larger, and you know, the question is, does the surgeon need access to that image? Well, I would assume that they would. So you're in the surgical suite, you're looking for that image, it's not available because it's in the clinical note that someone put in there. So that's why enterprise imaging becomes so important to really address some of the issues that we are having today about, you know, patient expectations, accountable care, and the other, you know, the other factors that you're talking about.
That's Lenny, a great point, Lenny.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Alex. In my clinical role, an example, if I'm reading an x-ray from the emergency department and I see a broken bone, I can say broken bone, but that photograph that comes next to it, where I see the bone sticking out of the skin, we in radiology are not very good at diagnosing an open fracture, for example, when the bone is sticking through the skin. I know it sounds sort of obvious, but it's not always sticking through the skin the way you would think it is. But that photo really changes my ability to make a diagnosis.
Absolutely.
And does it in a way that I wouldn't be able to do really any other way.
Change the ability to make a diagnosis. I mean, that alone would make everyone run out and buy enterprise imaging, because that's really what it's fundamentally about. So.
Yeah, that's, that's quite a mouthful, changing your ability to make a diagnosis, and that's what it's all about. Joe, your thoughts?
Well, I absolutely agree with what Lenny and Alex are saying, and I'm glad to hear the emphasis and references to other areas than classical imaging like radiology, cardiology, because I think the huge opportunity and challenge is in those particular areas. So the discipline in radiology, in the context of you place an order and then the images are associated with that order, is much more difficult in these other areas such as dermatology, ophthalmology, et cetera. And that, I think, is one of the key challenges to an enterprise environment, is being able to relate all of that information in an integrated way to the same patient. And I agree with what Alex said relative to ophthalmology as a challenge. Having lived through that, having had a macular hole at one point in my career, and a lot of OCT scans that were printed out as PDFs and then scanned into the EHR, and not available technically to anybody in a rational fashion. So I definitely agree that that is one of the challenges of an enterprise environment.
The discussion about an order is also so critical. In radiology, we use an order to drive our workflow, but radiology needs orders because radiologists are not seeing the patient. A dermatologist is seeing a patient. They don't need to write an order to take a picture, right? Like, if they have a camera in their pocket, they can just take a picture. And so we should not and cannot rely on people to do menial tasks like entering an order for something that they don't need to do. And so how we automate that entry and application of the metadata is so important to make enterprise imaging work, and not relying on just the way we've done it in other specialties.
You touched upon another really key word. You can't force different types of workflow, especially radiology workflow, into a dermatology department. It'll never work. Radiology is very encounter-based. This is why when you set up an enterprise imaging, you know, committee, they have to help to make these decisions. You know, even when you think about encounter-based workflow, which is the primary alternative to order-based, there's not even just one type of encounter-based workflow. In an emergency department, you may have an encounter and then you might need a fix-up afterwards, which is different than what you might find in dermatology when, you know, the person comes in, you sort of know they're there, obviously, and then, you know, you capture the image. And then there's also mobile capture and the like. So there's many different aspects of workflow and image capture, and those are the things that really make up a good enterprise imaging, you know, solution.
Lenny, is one of the issues that I'm hearing, sometimes the image is not readily associated with the order or sort of the textual context. So those two need to be together in order for a clinician to really be able to move forward with care.
Yeah, absolutely. If you think about it, you know, ultimately what we're trying to do with enterprise imaging is make sure the right information is in front of the right caregiver at the right time. So in order to do that, you need to capture the image, you need to marry it with the demographics, and you need to have some type of metadata intelligence to make sure that that image comes up in the patient record at the right time. Certainly, you can look at a timeline view of the patient, and that's very common, you know, in various applications. But even this timeline view with images, not everyone needs access to that. But, you know, for radiology, we talk about, you know, prior exams. Well, if it's a broken bone, you don't really need the brain CT to, you know, look at a broken bone. You have to apply those same kind of thinking when you get into enterprise imaging with all the different departments and service lines that you have to deal with.
Joe, can you talk about that a little bit, those two sticking together so the clinician gets a holistic view of the image and the associated metadata?
Yeah, that's, Anthony, that's a very sensitive topic and interest of mine is in the context of the fact that EMRs or EHRs tend to look at things from a departmental point of view. So I go to one tab to see radiology, another tab to see cardiology, another tab for whatever. And that's not the way that a clinician works. So I think from a workflow point of view, one of the key aspects of an enterprise imaging solution or of any solution that's going to deal on an enterprise level has to be to present the information the way that a clinician tends to interact or deal with it. So if the broken bone is maybe a simple one, but certainly in the context of the imaging pieces and how they fit together, it has to be diagnosis or in essence, it has to relate to the specific reason that you're looking at that information as opposed to the tabular kind of concept.
Yeah, more patient focused than you might find.
Yeah, I find the key fields of data that help you to do that are, to me, are body part, specialty, and a procedure description. But that procedure description is so variable among organizations. The reason I'm not including diagnosis myself is there are the diagnosis can change over time. When a patient comes into the emergency room, for example, they may have a symptom but not yet a diagnosis. So at that time, maybe they have cough. It's not until after, maybe then at the X-ray, the radiologist says pneumonia and the diagnosis changed, but then pulmonologist sees the patient and says, no, it's not a pneumonia, it's an interstitial lung disease. Mm-hmm. And so at each of those steps, unless there's a way to update the diagnosis, it can be challenging, but the lungs or chest tie them all together, at least over time. It's not that if you have two conditions in the same body part, then there can be challenges again. The other thing that we struggle with, I think, in tying all the data together is the note. I like to use the analogy that we all know a picture is worth 1,000 words. And I say that's true, but that's because we understand the picture. When you don't understand the picture is not worth anything. And so you want someone who can understand the picture and to get their point of view. So if someone took a screen capture of what we're seeing on screen now, you'd have, you could come up with a story because you understand the context of people, understand a webinar, things like that. But if you show any of us a pathology slide, we could talk about colors and shapes, but that's about it because we're not pathology experts. At least I'm not. And so that expert opinion is crucial. In radiology, it works well because it's one-to-one. There's an order for every image or imaging study. It's not necessarily the case that there's one note for every photo. And so an example would be in a photo taken or a video in the operating room. There's a brief op note, an op note, there may be an anesthesia note, all of those in that same encounter. There may be nursing notes, so many of those things. And which one do you tie that the interpretation or the description of the images to? And we, again, don't want to ask people to do extra work to say that there has to be a specific note or just for the images.
Alex, let me ask you, everyone's trying to get into the physician's head to do a better job of presenting the clinician with information, right? We say, how do physicians want to work? How do they want this information? But, you know, part of the reason we have this problem is because there's so many specialties capturing images. Do you get, when you're trying to put together a program and a workflow and a presentation of information, do you get to the point where you're saying, all right, for a cardiologist, they want to see imaging information this way. For dermatologists, they want to see it this way. So we're going to customize or provide all these different options. Click here if you're a dermatologist. That sounds really complicated. So how granular can you get when trying to please your quote-unquote customer?
I think it's important to understand their needs. Right? Like as Lenny said, you can't apply the radiology approach to everything. And at the same time, my belief is most people want it just easy. They want it to just work for them. And what works for that specialty is going to be relatively similar. In the radiology world, an example for a display protocol would be you want to see the study you're interpreting in front of you and the study, the comparison study next to it. And hopefully there's relevance to that study. Some people want something more special than that, and they have the user privileges to be able to do it. My opinion is we as informaticists should be designing solutions for that 90% and then giving people permissions to modify from there for themselves. And so I do want to know what the dermatologist wants and then try to create a solution for them around the technologic constraints that I have. You know, my enterprise viewer does not have display protocols today. So I can't build that type of hanging protocol to let them see dermatology with it. Many viewers don't have specialty as a tag that's exposed in a display protocol. And so you can't say, as a dermatologist, I want just radiology, wound care, surgery, and derm photos to display and never show me ortho photos, for example, or something. And so that's the technology constraint that we have to work around. So I tried to balance those things and giving them the workflow that works best for them. And always my goal is efficiency. And so when we're bringing in new workflows, how do we help them to reduce work effort from what they're doing today? If we're putting in a new workflow, or if they have an existing workflow, how do we reduce steps for them? Cut down on clicks and keystrokes as much as possible.
Very good. Lenny, your thoughts?
Well, I think, you know, what Alex is really pointing out is similar to what I said earlier. It's not just enterprise imaging isn't just a software on a disk that you install on your PC. It is a program because things change over time. You know, what is good for the dermatologist, you know, today may not work in a year from today. Their preferences may have evolved once they start using enterprise imaging. The software in the MR or in the enterprise imaging application may have changed. So I think one of the things that people don't always think about when they're planning their enterprise imaging program is, you know, the constant maintenance and optimization that it needs. And ultimately, I think, you know, you need to really think as your vendor as a partner, not as a vendor, because they're there to help you, you know, really make that application, really help you get the most out of that application. It isn't, you know, that you can just go live on day one and you'll get all the benefits. It takes time. Alex had mentioned about, you know, some of the body part labeling. You know, that has to be standardized across the organization. That takes time. The vendor can't do it for you, but that's certainly something that, you know, the vendor as a consultant can help point out for you. But then there's follow-up that's needed to really continually to optimize and to add more service lines. Most people don't start off with, you know, every department all go live on day one, sort of like what the EMR has done for a variety of reasons. Enterprise imaging usually takes, you know, a period of time to really implement. And it could be a department a week, a department a month, you know, but in reality, as we look back at our successes over the years, you know, it really takes years. You don't want to go in with a full bang and rip out radiology and cardiology and all these other departments at once. It's more of a journey. And I think those are the clients that are more successful when they view it as a journey.
I think that's great, Lenny. I think you probably have to do a lot of expectation setting. And it's probably bringing sort of maybe unrealistic expectations around potential customers around how fast it's going to be, how quick it's going to be, how great it's going to be, right? You want to bring those down and say, hey, it's important. It's a ride you want to go on, but buckle up, right? Because this takes a lot. You got to be invested. I'm imagining you need to do quite a bit of, here's what we're going to need from you. I understand we're going to provide you with things, but if you want to be successful as a health system and our partner, here's what we're going to have to do together. Here's what you're going to have to do.
Well, I think one of the questions we get asked a lot, and I think it might even be one of the questions that you had mentioned is, you know, what really makes, what makes a successful enterprise imaging program? And, you know, my short answer is getting the clinical and the IT people together. That is the number one thing. It's not just a radiology program. It's not just an IT program. It's not just ophthalmology program. It really is everyone working together. And I think there is a model in healthcare today for when people have implemented the EMR that had these cross-functional teams, whether you call it governance, executive committee, you know, governing committee, there's a lot of different names for it. But ultimately, there needs to be, you know, a group of people who are working together to really solve this problem. It's not that we have to set people's expectations back. It's just that there is amount of work that has to be done from both sides, and it is done in a consultative way in this group format that really gets the, you know, gets the most results.
So, Joe, let's talk a little bit about sort of everyone's got to decide. You got a certain amount of resources. You're a health system. You have a certain amount of resources. There's a million things you could do, a million places to put your resources, right? So if you were talking to a health system, I mean, are there ways you decide, is this what I need to do? Is this where I want to put my resources, right? Because one of my other questions was, this isn't as far along in as many health systems as you'd expect. Sharing images is so important for patient care, patient satisfaction, patient expectations, clinician satisfactions, right? I mean, if a clinician has a patient in front of them and there's imaging problems and they can't move forward with care, they're frustrated. The patient's frustrated. So there's so much upside here, but it must be a lot of work to get from A to B, or everyone would be there. So what would be your messaging to a health system that was trying to decide, is this a journey we want to go on?
Well, I think the key to that, Anthony, is that if you start down this path, there have to be some objectives and a clear understanding across the organization of what you're attempting to do. So a lot of people go into this with a false expectation or a limited expectation. I can't tell you how many engagements I've been involved with where it starts as a simple, I need a new PACS in radiology. And the next thing you know, somebody pipes up about cardiology. And the next thing somebody's saying, well, can I also store my dermatology images? And before you know it, we're really talking about an enterprise environment. And that is the dilemma, is that from top down, they have to understand or have some global objectives in terms of implementation as to what they're trying to accomplish. So one of the biggest challenges I've always faced as a consultant has been getting people to focus on, what are you trying to accomplish? What are your objectives and what are your requirements? So how do you assess whether a vendor is the correct vendor or whether it's a single vendor or multiple vendors has always revolved around a good understanding of requirements, and can a single vendor meet all of those requirements, or which one best meets them? So I think that's the number one challenge to an organization, is identify exactly what you're trying to accomplish. And if it starts in the context of just a radiology, cardiology kind of classical imaging exercise, the thing that they have to ask themselves is that what they really want to do? So I can relate back to some experiences where even within radiology, where the objective, the radiologist would say, well, my initiative is I want to be able to sit in front of a workstation and see all of my CT images. And in reality, if you go out and you talk to the clinicians, it's not the radiology, it's not the CT images necessarily that they were interested in. It's the high demand images that might be as simple as a chest X-ray. So it's getting to all of the entities or resources involved, getting them to at least agree on some common objectives.
Joe, are you starting to see pathology come into that as well?
Yes. For example. Yes, that's been true for probably 5-10 years now, where some places are ahead of the game, if you will, and starting to think about areas such as pathology. That's why I say it's so crucial in the context of understanding all of the requirements, or having that big picture and not just a singular focus.
Alex, let me frame this up to you a little bit differently. You know, Joe had talked about how important it is for a health system that maybe is sort of like dabbling in this to say, what is your objective? My question to you is, what should the objective be? So what would you say to your colleagues? Hey, if you are a health system of this particular size and complexity, you should be doing this, or sometimes you shouldn't be doing this. In what cases, in what scenarios should enterprise imaging be your objective?
I think it depends a little on where you are. I really like Joe's answer. I want to say that at the beginning. It was a different answer than I'm going to give, but I think most organizations are exactly what he said. For me, when I was making this argument at my organization, I haven't said this before, but now I'm saying it publicly. I was being selfish in a good way, I guess. But my goal was to allow me to take better care of my patients. You know, and so very personal, I want to take better care of my patients, and I believe the images help me to do that. And images from other specialties. I also want to help my colleagues to do their jobs in a more efficient manner, and then to help them gain insight from their data. But I think organizations, you know, from the use cases, the clinical use cases side, not the IT use cases side, I think there's two major ones. And one could involve around, from the financial side, do you want to increase revenue capture or do you want to decrease liability? If your goal is to increase revenue capture, point of care ultrasound is a really great place to start. It's happening in almost every specialty, if not every specialty. Having a common way to do that, to automate billing and enable it, is important, and it can be a big revenue gainer for hospitals and organizations. If you're trying to limit liability, I think medical photographs are a place to go. People are taking pictures of their patients today. Whether you have a program or not, they are doing it. If you don't have a program, you're doing it on their phone. Then it goes to their photo library, and then it goes to every cloud they're subscribed to. Right. And so then they're texting it in secure or likely not secure ways. And you have liability there because that is going to be PHI. You know, at some point there's going to be a face involved. They're probably also texting names and other information. And getting out of that business is, I think, an important step. And so with photo capture and enabling safe and secure mobile image capture or mobile photo capture, I think is a good liability decreaser. I would say there is still a need to be able to communicate via text message or secure messaging platforms. And there are not great ways to do that today and share those images. And so that's as an industry where we need to keep working. But that's, to me, those are the two big things. There are plenty of other use cases. They tend to be more department-based, like improving opto workflow or improving dental workflow.
Lenny, anything else you want to add there?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great summary. I would add one additional thing under liability that is sometimes the elephant in the room, and that has to do with security. Fundamentally, if you have, let's just say, 5 to 10 disparate imaging systems, it's a lot harder to secure those than one imaging system. You have to have database backups for every one of those systems. You have to have servers and VMs, security policies, you know, go through the gamut of the day-to-day things that the IT department does. Do you want to have to worry about, you know, getting those 5 to 10 systems secure or one system secure and put all your resources and focusing on making that one secure? So from a liability point of view, many of our clients, you know, are very interested in understanding how enterprise imaging can help them consolidate systems, reduce the number of systems, so they have less liability from a security point of view.
But Lenny, we had that breach where there were some images released, right? Of
people, I think there's probably a lot more breaches than what we're probably aware of out there. You know, look, hospitals and even all the institutions that, you know, we deal with in our personal lives, they don't go announce them all. So I don't know that we have, you know, there's certainly the ones that are in the public, you know, domain, but there's probably more that we don't even know about. And that's a little on the scary side, to be honest.
Right. All right. Joe, if, and let's go around with this question. Let's say, people that are going to listen to this say, let's say they're a CMIO or CIO position, somewhere in IT, perhaps even a CMIO. And they say, yeah, you know, I'm a proponent of this, and I want to get this moving at my health system. So I want to champion this. What are some first steps, Joe, that they can take to start to start the Titanic moving?
I think one of the key aspects is you have to get buy-in and agreement from the department heads. So if there isn't a common objective, it's very difficult to implement something like this in the context that if you've got departments fighting it or not agreeing to buy into it, it makes it very difficult to implement.
And so, Joe, to get buy-in, if you want to be saying, here are the benefits, right? So Alex mentioned some of them. Lenny mentioned, we've mentioned a number on this call today. You could take notes from this webinar so far, and you could probably list a bunch of things, and then you can go around to your department heads and say, hey, here's all the upside. So anything more there? And then I want to go to Alex and see his thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's what we've already discussed in the context that you have to come up with some objectives of what are you trying to accomplish. And again, to Alex's points in the context of, is it revenue capture or is it liability or what problems are you trying to solve? So if you don't start with a clear understanding of what you're trying to do, I mean, it's like building a house. If you don't have a plan, it's going to be very difficult to put that house together. And I think the same thing is true here is that people have to recognize that there is a plan, that there is a time frame associated with that. Rome wasn't built in a day, so to speak, and nor is an enterprise solution going to appear magically overnight. So I think that you have to have a clear understanding of what you're trying to do and how you're going to get there.
So, Alex, this is not just going to happen spontaneously, right? I mean, you need a champion, and it can be probably any number of people in terms of positions. As I mentioned, a CMIO, a CIO, could be any number of positions, but this isn't magically going to happen at a health system unless someone believes in it enough to be that rallying cry, to go around to the department heads to champion it. Does that make sense?
I totally agree with you. I think it needs a champion. And as Lenny and Joe have mentioned, and even every project that you do in enterprise imaging, because it is not something that happens in a day. Every project needs a champion. You know, you may have someone who's championing the enterprise imaging program in its entirety, and that is helpful. And you need that person or that group to help prioritize projects, to set strategic decisions. However, every project needs a local champion. We've had much better success when we have a domain expert leading the request and actively engaged in the project. When we have a domain expert who's not engaged, the projects are less successful.
Could you list a short list of by title the people that, let's say you're advising someone and yeah. another CMI, and they said, Alex, who are just the key short list of top by title of people that I need to sign to sort of say, yes, I'm on board before I go forward? And would it be like CIO, CMIO, CNIO, heads of radiology, cardiology, dermatology, ophthalmology? Just any short lists come to mind?
I think you need executive buy-in at the top, at the beginning, because there is a cost technology outlay. And you need some agreement that this is the strategy going forward, that you want to, the goal is to get the images in one place, because there are a lot of turf battles that come up. There's a lot of differences of opinion or opinions on that, the opinions related to ownership of images. And so having a little bit of that decision that this is what it's going to be at the hospital, whether that's from a governance group, a CIO, or a CEO is needed. But they're not the people that are going to drive the strategy around it for the most part. And it is a little bit variable. It doesn't necessarily need to be a physician. I think radiology has a longer history of imaging informatics. I think imaging informatics are different than clinical informatics. And so someone with imaging expertise is important. That does not need to be a radiologist. It does not need to be a physician, but someone who knows imaging informatics is needed to help drive some of the decision-making, workflow steps, workflow design. And so that could be, titles are different at different organizations. Mm-hmm. It could be the person who's in charge of imaging informatics at a hospital or a high-level PACS administrator. If your PACS admins are just doing break-fix work, they may not be the right people to help lead this. So you need someone who would be more strategic facing or who would have that ability. And many could if they are given the opportunity.
So, Lenny, it sounds like this could take on any number of flavors. If you were the champion at your health system and you believed in this, sounds like there are a number of ways you could go about it, a number of titles you could go to. I just wonder, tell me if this question isn't even make sense, but you could probably go two different ways. You could probably try to go to that executive level buy-in first and then go down from there, meaning talk to the COO, the CEO, or someone, or you could get a buy-in from the level below, the heads of the ologies, and then take that to the CEO and say, I've got all this support. So you could go one way or the other. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, I don't believe there's only one way that is the only way to do it. I think I've seen it successful in both ways. Many times the person who is a PACS admin, has had that vision and has brought it upstairs, so to speak. And that has been successful. Sometimes it is a mandate from the CIO down and then everyone falls into line. I don't think there's one way to do it. But I think there's three things that ACT always likes to tell everyone. If you want to get started, where do you begin? And I think you asked this earlier. Number one is educate yourself. There is a lot of information out there. Obviously this webinar is one piece of information. There's a lot of stuff on vendor websites. We mentioned the HIMSIM community. I believe that's an excellent vendor neutral resource people use. So that would be my number one ask for everyone who's interested in moving down enterprise imaging. Educate yourself to understand what kind of solutions are out there. Number two is get organized. We talked about that. Get the right people together in the room. You'll never get all those clinical heads, but I think you did mention a lot of the key people who you would expect to be involved in this program. And last but not least, it's really what Joe said. What are your goals? It's easy to say put all your images in EMR, but you need a next level of detail on your goals that you want to get done. So is your focus, on the security aspect or revenue capture? There's a lot of sub-goals. You can't have 20 sub-goals, but, yes, you want the images in the EMR, but let's, try to extract out the goals that you're trying to accomplish. So that when you look back at the project, you'll know, yes, we did accomplish this goal. Yes, we are successful.
All right. Excellent. Alex, I know you typed away a little bit on this question, but I'm going to surface it for everyone.
Yeah.
And we'll go around. Here's the audience question. What are some overall opinions of this group on incorporating outside imaging from other facilities. What do you bring in, how, and how long do you keep it? Alex, we'll start with you.
So we bring in everything if it's sent. And so that can come in a number of different flavors. We have two main workflows. One is a second opinion workflow, and one is a reference-only workflow. So there is comparisons. Sometime within those workflows, especially the reference-only, there are additional complexities. Sometimes the patients are patients of our hospital, and sometimes they are seeing if they should be a patient at our hospital. So they don't always have, they aren't always registered in our medical record system. But we bring them in to enable our clinical providers to use the systems that they're familiar with and to do it efficiently. This is mostly electronic image transfer today, although there unfortunately are still a lot of discs. We import, just in radiology, import 100,000 studies a year, export about 60,000. And that's on our annual volume that we perform internally of about 250,000. So it's a large percentage of studies that are performed, or a large percentage of our volume we're also importing. Within cardiology, it works similarly. Pathology, we're not yet. We have some electronic transfers, mostly through things like Dropbox today, or other file transfer systems. And then it's interesting when you move to the other specialties, there are not great ways to do it. So technically, we can do it. Exchanging a DICOM image or a JPEG is simple. For a dermatology visit, when we've moved to DICOM, it's easy for us to send those images somewhere else. The problem is many other dermatologists don't have DICOM viewers. So there's a lot of private dermatology practices not affiliated with a hospital, and so they don't have a DICOM viewer. Their ability to view those images that we send them, even though it's in a standard way, is limited. In that prior state, it was easy because you attach a JPEG to an email, and they could view them that way, and everyone can view JPEGs. So in some ways, we've brought the disc to dermatology and some other specialties because of that difficulty at other sites. If they send us an image in, we would be fine to import it in. Other specialties like opto are just challenging because you don't have raw data. And so you can send a PDF. It's just, what's the value of that PDF? It's better than a photocopy of a PDF, where you start losing image quality at that point from a scan of a scan. But it's still just, a summary type statement.
Alex, is that DICOM viewer a big investment for those practices?
They're free or very cheap viewers that you can do. So no, they.
So that's kind of inexcusable.
They have no storage infrastructure. So if you were going to, they have a hard drive, but they don't have servers or data centers. And so it depends on what they want to do with that data.
So, okay. do you have any thoughts on that outside question about incorporating outside imaging? Lenny, any thoughts on that audience question?
Well, to be honest, I think Alex did a great job. That's a pretty thorough answer.
Okay.
I'd like you to add to that one.
Okay, Joe, anything else on that, bringing in outside images?
Yeah, I think there are some challenges there. I've done some engagements in Florida where snowbirds are a particular issue. If you have a patient that's been undergoing chemotherapy and has follow-on imaging, one of the challenges is how do you get the comparative information access if you're doing studies locally, and then who owns what images? And I think the ownership aspect is a really key aspect to this as well. And that relates all the way to the patient in the context that, again, do I have to deliver, if I'm a healthcare provider, do I have to deliver the images to the patient? The old method was maybe through a CD and in a DICOM format with a DICOM viewer. But I think thinking beyond that and thinking towards an enterprise scale solution, we need to be thinking more in the context of streaming type of technology where I can deliver the images to the individual, but they're not really getting the images. They're really getting just a view of those images. So I think that that's another technology challenge that organizations face, is that how do I make that information readily available to other entities?
I agree. I think there's some unique challenges there too. As organizations, we allow patients to view their images, and so do it in the way you said, where they can access through the patient portal and the medical record, and it launches our enterprise viewer. We've simplified the viewer a little bit because we don't expect our patients to know how all the specific tools, and they probably don't need them anyway. But my concern starts being opening up to every hospital in the world. I am worried about our ability to provide that, to do that safely and securely, and making sure that it doesn't impact our hospital bandwidth. If we did that, I don't know that the impact of, you know, if it's 100 studies, 300 studies a day that we're importing or exporting, is that going to, if people are all of a sudden starting to hit our viewer, if we exposed it in a way that was secure through portal sharing or how EMR sharing, are we going to have bandwidth constraints that will hit? I'm especially worried as we move to pathology about that. That, you know, the bandwidth needs for photos are on the low side. Pathology will start getting much higher.
Joe, any feedback there for Alex?
Well, no, I agree absolutely with what he's saying. And I'll give you a real world example of where access to images is crucial, is that years ago I had an episode of vertigo in Florida on vacation and ended up in an ER. And they did the CT and they said, well, you've got enlarged ventricles. We need to do an MRI. And I said, no, you don't. It's a known anomaly that I have. It's not hydrocephalus or anything else. And they were adamant, no, we got to do the MRI. And if I had the ability to access my images from my at-home healthcare providers and say, see here, look at these images and you'll see that it's an existing condition, perhaps I could have saved them the time and effort and myself an overnight stay in a hospital. So I think that that's a key aspect to this, is the ability to share information, but it has to be done so in a manner that who's in control of that? So is it the patient that's orchestrating that, or is it the healthcare providers that are orchestrating it? And that's another challenge, I think, to a larger scale enterprise environment.
And we definitely need to share that, the information. I'm not having any pushback there. We need to take care of our patients in a way that's as safe and effective as possible. I just bring your out how to do it and widespread. The patients can be the arbiters, but they don't have to always be, and they shouldn't always be. And sometimes they can't. If they're incapacitated in some way, there has to be ways for hospitals to do it too. And it's more that hospital to hospital sharing that it just makes me nervous more about, again, the technical constraints around it, which I'm sure will be solved soon.
I think that's another whole webinar in it itself. But I would say that we know the answer involves streaming. You know, we all use Netflix every week, every night. And we know streaming data is not the same thing from a bandwidth point of view as sending the full data. No one needs the image in their hand. They need to see the image. So streaming is a big part of that answer.
Excellent. Excellent. We are just about out of time. I'm going to give you opportunity for what I'll call a lightning round. 30 seconds at most of final thoughts. Best piece of advice to the folks listening out there. Alex, let's start with you.
Thank you for that. Thank you again for having me on this webinar. Advice is, I think, where we started, or the theme that's come up over and over again, is having a plan and priorities and working through the priority list. It's not going to be something you can achieve in one day or even one year.
Joe?
use an old adage that a company I worked with years ago, one of the guys used to say this all the time, plan your work and work your plan. And I think that that's very relevant to this environment is you got to have a plan and you've got to have some method or logic to implementing that plan.
Perfect. Lenny, we'll give you the last word.
I think that's well said. You know, in summary, educate, organize, and set a goal.
Very good. And we learned that Joe is a difficult patient who argues with his clinician. So, Alex, he would be tough. I think he'd be tough. Why do we need to do this? All right. Listen, regarding continuing education, you could use the final slide in this deck. You'll get an email when the on-demand recording is ready for viewing. If you want to work with us, you can reach out to Nancy Wilcox from our team and go to our website to register for upcoming panels. With that, I want to thank our tremendous panel, Dr. Alex Tobin, Joe Marion, and Lenny Resnick. And I want to thank AGFA Healthcare for sponsoring and making the event possible, and you for attending. And with that, everybody have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you, Anthony.
Thanks. Alex. Have a good day.